Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We haven't had that Michael Rappaport drop in a long time.
No, it's been a minute.
Him is Danny Aiello reacting to the Knicks draft. That's just legendary right there. Oh, my goodness. Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside. Slide over, baby hour. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Yeah, it's that kind of night. Speaking of draft and people being upset, coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to get into how the Cowboys have decided they want to be the Jets now. They've had enough of everything else. They want to be the Jets, and why Aaron Rodgers is going to be a guy right now burning Twitter accounts saying, hey, see, told you it wasn't me. It was all Mike McCarthy.
He's going all Shaggy.
Told you it wasn't me. It wasn't me. They even have him on camera. It wasn't me. Don't throw interceptions. It wasn't me. But game one of the World Series goes to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers win 8-3. And, you know, we'll get to Clayton Kershaw in a couple of minutes. But the play of the night in an 8-3 game turns out to be a double play in the seventh inning. All right. Now, this is how close this game was even when it was 8-3, right? The Dodgers do everything right in the first six innings. Clayton Kershaw pitches great. He only makes one mistake, gives up the home run, and that's it. Bellinger, it's a home run. The Dodgers do exactly what they need to do tonight against Glasnow. They get him to 112 pitches, and they knock him out of the game, and they're winning 8-1. 8-1, Kershaw comes out in the sixth inning, and Dylan Floro comes in the seventh, and then Victor Gonzalez comes in. Because suddenly, the Rays start hitting the baseball, and it's 8-2, and it's 8-3, and the Dodgers are starting to get a little nervous, and your high-leverage relievers have to start warming up, and this could be a thing. One out, runners at second and third, and this is the play of the game, and it's not even close, and it's one of those plays that makes you think the Dodgers are destined to win the World Series. Here's what happened.
Three balls, two strikes to Mike Zunino. Line drive right back to the glove of Gonzalez. Throws to second base and a double play. Oh, doctor. Zunino couldn't have hit the ball any harder. Gonzalez picked it out of the air.
Charlie Steiner, AM 570, LA Sports on the call. And Charlie kind of undersold that a bit because that was, I can't tell you what a fortunate play that was for Gonzalez, because this ball is ticketed for center field and two runs are coming in. The only way two runs don't score is because it gets out to center field so fast that the runner can't score from second base.
Sure.
But Gonzalez finishes his motion and he just happens to have his glove where he normally finishes, which about at the level of his hip and 6 or 8 inches out. And this is where the ball is hit. Gonzalez doesn't move his glove. He just has his glove stuck out there. Had the ball been 3 inches higher or 3 inches lower, it's off the glove, maybe breaks his hand, and the ball goes into center field. Because that ball came off of Zunino's bat at 105 miles an hour. That's how well he hit that ball. The Dodgers relievers couldn't do anything. They were happy as hell that Kershaw was out of the game, the Rays hitters, and they started knocking the ball all over the ballpark. Clutch hits, ground balls that got through the infield. They were feeling it. This ball goes to the outfield. It's 8-5, and the Rays are still batting with runners on base, and suddenly it's all full of confidence, and the Dodgers are panicked. But this play by Gonzalez, who just happens to have his glove there, and he turns, and he nearly throws the ball into center field.
Yeah.
And he's got to wait for Kike Hernandez to get to second base to double the runner off because it's such a bang-bang play. By the time Charlie Steiner is telling you it's a line drive out, Gonzalez already has the ball and throws to second base. But he throws the ball, and Kike Hernandez is coming in, and he has to go down and get it and almost falls down standing on the base because Gonzalez's throw is so low and to the outside. Somehow he's able to catch it. It's a great play by Kike Hernandez, who comes off the bench. It's a home run just about every game, but this is a great defensive play by Hernandez. And the Dodgers get out of the inning. Pedro Baez comes in the eighth, and there's no trouble at all. He gets three pop-ups, and the Dodgers win this game 8-3. But that play there, that could have changed the game. And I mean it. There's those destiny-type plays where you think, oh, my goodness, that really – That's a play. They're going to win the World Series. You know, they're teams that win have plays like that happen, whether they're living right or it's just a break that they get. But that's one of those plays that happens for teams to win the World Series. And that makes me think it's just destiny for the Dodgers to win the World Series this year.
Yeah, that was a fantastic play. The, oh, look what I've got here. And that's, you know, in the sell of it, right? I mean, the excitement of, I can't believe what I just saw. Right, because we had that, and we certainly had that for the final play of the game as well. As you know, you and I are on air and communicating with our guy Justin Frostberg, making sure that his pulse is okay, is checking on his heart. You know,
no, he's so drunk right now; it doesn't matter. Frostberg is so drunk right now.
That may absolutely be the case.
He's drunk dialing John Paul Morosi right now, trying to say, "Can you get a phone into Mookie Betts' hand for me? Can you? I just want to say something to him. Hey, don't hang up on me. Don't hang up on me." I guarantee you that's what Frostberg's doing.
But, yeah, I mean, you had a few of the anxious moments in that inning, right, as Floro comes in to relieve Kershaw, gets in trouble, Gonzalez comes in, and all of a sudden you're wringing your hands. And across Los Angeles, I'm sure, and welcome in AM570 LA Sports. Dodger fans feeling good. But I know you had some anxious moments. And you were wondering, well, at 78 pitches, what did Clayton have left? What do we do here? Do we extend him? Should we have extended him? Maybe a little bit of, you know, visceral reaction, you know, in invoking the name of Dave Roberts. But that play by Gonzalez, I tell you what, when they get back to doing trading card shows, I'm going to get that blown up because the look on his eyes, wide as saucers, as that ball hit his glove. double play that will be remembered perhaps as the play that defines the series. Forget about the Bellinger home run and the foot tapping. And I know our guy, UCLA Dodger Frank, and I had like a mind meld because I was thinking you got to play do the kid and play dance if you're going to do the foot tap. You got to go all the way around, right? Two, one, two. That'll take a lot to get through the entire dugout. But you know what? You got time. You just hit a home run. But you got that. You got Kershaw's start. You had Bellinger, a play in the outfield. You had Betts, a play. You got all of these big plays. Turner, a play that he came up huge for Kershaw. You know, all of these moments. But Gonzalez is stabbing of that line drive, man, that's the catalyst for you're up 1-0 and you're going to look back as that was the rally killer, and that really took the air out of the sails of the Tampa Bay Rays.
You know, and the thing is, you know what I compare it to, and I feel like the Dodgers are going to say we're owed one from the World Series against the Astros. You remember game two in 2017, that big extra inning game where the Astros had the lead and the Dodgers come back to tie it in the 10th inning. They get a big double by Kike Hernandez. And Chris Devenski is trying to close out the inning, and he tries to pick Hernandez off of second base, and he throws the ball incredibly wild, and it happens to hit the umpire. And a ball falls down in front of him. And had it not hit the umpire, that ball's into left center field. And Hernandez is at least at third. Maybe he scores. And the Dodgers win that game. And maybe the World Series changes. That's one of those plays where I was like, wow, the Astros really, they're living right. That's one of those plays that make you think it's destiny. Well, also having the cheating scandal help a bit too. But that's one of those plays where I was like, oh, man, that's like that destiny play for the Astros. Because that pickoff play, he throws into left center field. That's it. I mean, the Dodgers probably win that game, and they wind up winning the World Series. That's kind of what this was for Gonzalez tonight. You know,
game of inches, baby. That's it. I mean, because we also have seen a play in the championship series. I think it was on the American League side where the Rays, there was a ball back up the middle, and wisely, you know, pulled the glove back to recognizing where the second baseman was playing and allowed them to complete a double play, as opposed to sometimes you have the instinctual stabbing out of the gloves and all you do is give it a direction you know, like it's a pool shot or something to that effect, as opposed to being able to allow it to get to your fielders. Here, the potential for disaster was double, right? If it hits the glove and takes an awkward hop, then perhaps, you know, you've got the run scoring anyway. Or if he misses entirely, yeah, it's back up the box. So a lot of things that could have gone wrong. Nope, instead, inning ending, double play.
You know, that's one of those plays where I always say that to kids when, you know, the kids I coach in softball, when they make a great play or somebody on the team makes a great play like that. And I just say, oh, look, in the other hand, you find a gold watch. And I would always say that. And, you know, some people got it. And finally, one of the kids on my team said, Coach, why do you say that? Is there does somebody get a gold watch if they make a play like that? And I go,
well, you're just doling out Rolexes over
there. Hey, here you go, gold. That was a good play. Here's a gold watch. Hey, I got a gold watch for you. I go, I had to explain. No, it means like you find something in your hand, you can't believe it's there, and so you look in the other hand, you can't believe a gold watch is there. And she goes, oh. And I don't think she understood it, but she thought it was like a system where if you made a great play, you got a gold watch.
Hey, Mr. Jason's got this incentive plan. We make a big play and get a gold watch.
Gold watch.
And then you get down and you give them the whole speech like you're Christopher Walken, and see if they really want to keep that watch.
You know, I kept this uncomfortable hunk of metal. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Garvin, live from the Geico Studios. Now for Clayton Kershaw, because obviously a lot of attention for him, and Dave Roberts avoids getting just raked over the coals for, oh, you took Kershaw out, we almost gave the game away in the seventh inning. Kershaw pitches tremendously well tonight. He was in trouble in the first inning, but he was able to get out of it, and then he was a machine. For six innings, he had the one mistake for the home run, and that was it. Kershaw was fantastic. And he comes out of the game, only 78 pitches, and you're thinking, okay, well, he could have gone more. Dodgers fans are going, oh, no, take him out before he screws up. And then 5 minutes later, they were, oh, now I'm really mad they took him out because we really need him to come back in because the relievers can't get anybody out. But honestly, I'm not surprised at this. Okay, look, Clayton Kershaw is the Jennifer Aniston of baseball, in which every year, how many years did Jennifer Aniston do two rom-coms that were supposed to be big hits that would make her a huge star coming off of Friends? How many years? And how many years did that not happen for her? Her entire career. The best thing she's done post-Friends, she's doing right now, The Morning Show. It is phenomenal. She is terrific in this. But it took her that long to get rid of Rachel Green and move on. And every postseason, Clayton Kershaw gets two or three chances to say, hey, this is where he rewrites his postseason legacy. This is where he does it. And tonight I was not surprised because it's not like Clayton Kershaw sucks in the playoffs. He's an every other game guy. That's really what he is. His record is 500. His ERA is 4.5. That's about as generic as you can be as a baseball pitcher. He's an every other game guy. And that's why I was not surprised. And I expected it tonight because, number one, it's a team that hasn't really seen him in the Rays. And number two, he doesn't give you two playoff stinkers in a row. He doesn't give you two great games in a row either, but he doesn't give you two big playoff stinkers in a row. He had a bad game in the last round against the Braves, and it was all, this could be the end of Clayton Kershaw, and that was it. So I expected a big bounce back game. Now, will he be able to do it again later on in the series after the Rays have now seen him in game one? That's going to be the big question, but I was not surprised because that's who he is. He is an every other game guy. And once you realize that that's Clayton Kershaw, okay, certain things about, we talked about this last week, certain things come into perspective about why the Dodgers haven't been able to win the World Series. When you count on a guy like that so much and he gives you one horrible game per series, it's really hard to win three series and win the World Series. But tonight, I'm not surprised because he was so bad. Here's the pressure, and he wins game one, and he comes out early, and he's ready to pitch again in game four or game five. And yes, he has another chance to rewrite his postseason legacy with a win if he pitches again and wins. But I got news for you, Mike. Even if he wins, right? Let's say the Dodgers win the World Series. Uh-huh. Let's say even for grins and giggles, he pitches this game in game one and wins, and he pitches another great game in game five and he wins. And he wins the World Series MVP. He's still going to be Peyton Manning.
he's still going to be a guy. Okay, he did it, and he you know, he helped his legacy certainly. But when he retires, it's still going to be Clayton Kershaw. Boy, he was only okay in the playoffs. I mean, he won a couple of times, but he could have won more, because that's what we say about Peyton Manning. When you talk about Peyton Manning now, is Peyton Manning one of the best? Oh, Peyton Manning was so good, but boy, he should have won more Super Bowls. He was only okay in the playoffs. That's the second thing you say about Peyton Manning, and that's going to be the second thing people say about Clayton Kershaw, regardless as to whether or not he wins the MVP now or not. It will certainly help, by leaps and bounds it will help, but it will still be that kind of legacy that Peyton Manning has.
Yeah, I thought that you were going to say that, well, he's going to get criticized for just beating the Rays.
Like LeBron?
Wait, we just did that with LeBron James,
yeah, LeBron only
beating
beat
the fifth-seeded Heat.
Oh, I know.
So it'll be the same thing
That's
here, right?
Insane. Yeah, of course it could be. Well, had they beat the Yankees, then it would have been a big deal.
Then it would have really counted. This is a shortened season, so it doesn't count. There's a million things that folks like to trot out. You know who they are. You know where you're going to hear those takes and those pieces of analysis. Look, you can only play who's in front of you, dominate who's in front of you. And for Clayton Kershaw, you know, to some of it, and I asked it the tongue-in-cheek question that our executive producer, Justin Frostberg, put out saying, hey, ask this of John Paul Morosi. But for the Dodgers that have been through these World Series efforts, right, three in the last 4 years, how do you reconcile the cheating Astros? See, mm-hmm. I was kind of being nice.
There you go,
and
nice.
And the Red Sox, right? How do you mm-hmm. reconcile that when you're trying to think of what Clayton Kershaw's history, legacy, and all of those things are, right? Tonight was his 12th postseason win, is that right? So you're talking about a guy who's had his level of success, but how much of the World Series issues do you take with a grain of salt, knowing what we know now, regardless of whatever former executives of those teams try to claim who knew what and why and when? So for Clayton Kershaw, I think it's going to be an interesting history to walk through. One of the greatest regular season pitchers that we've ever had, a guy with a lot of postseason success. And if he's able to get a chip here, will it count more, less? Or is he, well, to your point, the Peyton Manning of, they should have done more.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, you can have in the air tonight. Give me Susudio with the horns.
I was going to take Land of Confusion.
Mm. Well, that's Genesis. That's Genesis.
That's,
that's different. This is Phil Collins by himself. All right?
So just another day in paradise.
Genesis doesn't count. That's all. That's all.
Or,
we're not talking
you'll
about
be
Genesis.
In my heart.
We're not going Tarzan.
Come on. It's a catchy thing, and it's a good love song for the slide over baby hour.
Sure, it is. It is. Yeah, Phil Collins, his career is just filled with hits. I mean, he's got his issues right now, but boy, his career is filled with hits.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Happy slide over baby hour. We'll have more on the World Series coming up in a couple of minutes, but I don't know if you knew this, but after the loss last night to the Arizona Cardinals, the Cowboys decided, you know, we don't like the fact that the Jets are getting all the, hey, they're the biggest train wreck in the NFL headlines. Because, you know, all the good teams we talk about the teams at the bottom. And when you're really bad and embarrassing, you get all the headlines. The Jets are clearly the worst and most embarrassing of all the bad teams in the NFL, so they get all the headlines. And the Cowboys have decided, you know what, no, we really want part of that. So it's not enough that coming off of last night, we watched the Cowboys get thumped by the Cardinals in a game which their defense clearly showed they're the worst in the National Football League. I mean, even the Jets' defense is better. Not by much, but the Jets' defense is better. And the Jets have no NFL players on it. So you had that, and then you had two stories come up today that make you just go, oh my goodness, all right? First was Jerry Jones, right? Because what did we tell you after the game last night? Watch how this week the Cowboys talk about how unhappy they are. Mike McCarthy's going to be unhappy. Jerry Jones is going to be unhappy because this is when they have to save their season. They have two winnable games against their two closest, there's only three teams. They all stink. But they're still closest to them in the NFC East. They play the Eagles, and they play Washington. All right? These are their next couple of games. If they don't win these games, the season is done. So this is when you put pressure on a team, when you have winnable games coming up. It's just like firing, or when a manager challenges his team in baseball, it's always when they have a bottom feeder series coming up, because that's a series they can win. They're not going to do it against a really good team, because if you lose, then your message falls away and you lose the team. So this was Jerry Jones's message today, and in it, you get one reason why the Cowboys haven't been able to win, because listen to who Jerry Jones blames for the Cowboys' loss on Monday night.
I don't want to be trite, but every time we've lost our starting quarterback since I've been in the NFL, well, we've missed him. Now, that's trite, to say the least. And
Stop right there for a second. Mike, how many teams lose their starting quarterback and stay great in the NFL? Can you tell how many teams lose their starting quarterback? Boy, they're just as good. Only the Eagles, when they lost Carson Wentz and Nick Foles came in. Every time, of course, when you lose your starting quarterback, you lose your starting quarterback. You don't get better. Oh, all right. So let's keep going now with Jerry Jones now saying, oh, yes, feel bad.
Zero.
We've lost our starting quarterback again. Go ahead.
But we haven't always had a game like we had the other night. But yes, we missed Dak. On the other hand, we can get the most out of our team, and it could be enough with Andy Dalton. I'm not in the feel-good mood, frankly, that we've been got manna from heaven, being in the East. These things have a way of evening out as we go along, and certainly the NFC East is having its challenges right now.
There's Jerry Jones talking about everything. He said the main things I wanted to bring up, which was he throws Andy Dalton under the bus, right? We can still do what we want to, even with Andy Dalton, and we miss Dak. You know what? This is why the Cowboys don't win. Part one, because something happened afterwards that's even crazier we're going to get to, is that here's Jerry Jones, who has always been a cheerleader for the guys that he likes, for the guys that he drafted, and the guys that he can lay a claim to saying, he's my guy, right? He doesn't blame Ezekiel Elliott, who fumbled twice. His mistakes were worse than Andy Dalton, all right? Ezekiel Elliott fumbles twice, and the game is out of hand before Andy Dalton throws his first interception.
But that's the thing is, right? Yeah, the game was as even.
Yeah, but I'm
right?
not going
mean, to Not yeah. that they were great, but we saw eventually the chunk yardage and short fields come back to bite them. It's all Zeke's doing. Banged up offensive line and Zeke.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything about Zeke. He fumbles twice. No. And Dak, well, Dak's my guy. You know, I drafted Zeke and I paid him, so he's my guy. And I drafted Dak when nobody else wanted Dak, right? Meanwhile, look, he went all the way through and look where he is right now. Dak is his guy. Why do you think Dak Prescott is holding out from the Cowboys for more money? Because he knows how much Jerry Jones loves him and is never going to let him get away, and he's going to give him all that money that Dak Prescott wants. This is why Dak is doing it, because, you know, he's just sitting there walking around going, Jerry, he loves me, man. He's never going to let me walk. And his agent, everybody knows it. His agent knows he's going to pay him, because if he does it, he's Jerry Jones is his guy. Of course he's going to pay him. I will hold out because eventually Jerry's going to give me that money. But this is why the Cowboys lose, because Jerry Jones has his guys. He overvalues them. And clearly Andy Dalton's not one of his guys. I got to blame somebody. So let's blame the guy that came in as the backup quarterback. And you know, what can we do? I got the starting quarterback. I can't blame him. This is why the Cowboys don't win. This is reason one. Because their personnel is not nearly as good as Jerry Jones thinks it is. All right, it's not. It's never as good as he thinks, but he thinks it's great. And so I'm going to pay these five or six guys, and I can't really do anything else with the rest of the roster. And we can't unearth people that we have to. We can't get a deep enough roster, because I want to overvalue these guys and pay these guys, because these are my guys. This is why the Cowboys are always doomed to 9-7. This is reason number one why the Cowboys don't win, and we saw it on display today with Jerry Jones.
Well, and that's the biggest part of the Cowboys is they're top-heavy. And we said this coming in, is that once you paid Zeke and you paid DeMarcus Lawrence and you paid $20 million a year for Amari Cooper, and look, by the Rams, we've seen the salary cap really means nothing. You just have to have a good accountant to go through the process as to how that all comes together. But we've seen the loyalty from Jerry Jones to a fault. Going back to when you got bad ownership, you're in trouble. unless, you know, there's a come to Jesus moment to where suddenly, like Ebenezer Scrooge, they're changing their habits and all of a sudden everybody gets a nice big fat Christmas goose. It's just going to be abject misery for years on end, and the definition of insanity presents itself every personnel decision that flows through. In this case, you've got great skill position guys. You got a guy in Zeke Elliott that we're not quite sure what he is at this point, but we do know he needs to go to the Tiki Barber school of how the hell do I hold on to the damn football. For those that forget, Tiki Barber was a great running back who fumbled a lot and started to hold it high and tight, whatever, and figured it out and solved that problem and became a strong player for the Giants, low those many years. But we look at Zeke, who you can't count on, and your offensive line is crumbled. That was your strength, right? You could argue that for a while, Jerry Jones and company had done it right, at least on paper, right? Built the infrastructure because they had a pretty good defensive interior, and that offensive line was all worldly, and it was so deep that Lyle Collins had trouble getting on the field. Well, now they're either hurt or retired, and you're starting rookies, and I think the most veteran guy they had on Monday Night Football was a third-year guy who had hardly played. But since he was the third-year guy, he was the vet of the process, and the interior was terrible. You watch those tackles just get moved around wherever the defensive line wanted to. And that's without Chandler Jones, who was hurt, right? They didn't have their best guy in terms of a pass rush. So, you know, when you cut it all through all the mess, you could blame Andy Dalton all you want because he was anything but perfect. But if I got to have happy feet because I know I'm getting drilled time and again, you're not standing in the pocket and taking those hits. At some point, you're making a business decision that you want to live to see week 7.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. So that would be enough from Jerry Jones. But no. We got this later on today from many sources. Bleacher Report had it. Pro Football Talk had it. That many Cowboy players are upset with the Cowboys coaching staff. That Mike McCarthy and his coaches are unprepared for games and they're not good at their jobs. This is
other than that, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
They're not good at their jobs. Mike McCarthy and the coaches are not good at their jobs. I mean, this another reason is why the Cowboys always are doomed to be a 9-7-ish team at best. Because when do they ever not have something going on outside of football that makes them look like a mess? They always do. Whether it's Jerry Jones created or elsewhere by other drama, they always have drama going on. And you can't win when you always have drama. And here's, you know, the players say the coaches stink and they're bad at their jobs and Mike McCarthy is unprepared? Oh my, are you kidding me? Oh my goodness, this is insane. But this is the Cowboys. This is why the Cowboys always are a mess, because they can't get away from stuff like this. And this is why they can't win. And this is why when you go, look at the Cowboys, why can't they? Nope, this is one of the reasons why you have on the field stuff and off the field stuff that they can't ever get past. And as an offshoot to this, when you think about this angle of it away from the Cowboys, Mike, things get really interesting. Because now, okay, if this is true about Mike McCarthy, and right now we're talking about the word of Cowboys players that the coaches are bad, right?
Who coming off a huge loss and where things are confused and frustration's going to mount. So eventually someone's going to let off some steam. So we take it with a grain of salt, but yes.
Right, but now let's go back. Mike McCarthy gets fired from the Green Bay Packers, and what do we say? Suddenly Aaron Rodgers' image is in the toilet, right? He's a coach killer. He should have won more in his career, and everybody who loved him the first 4 weeks of this season now, oh, he's done. He's awful because he lost one game to Tampa Bay. The same thing is true for the Packers it was last year. Aaron Rodgers is still really good. They're not going to win every game. He was the MVP for the first 4 weeks. Now he's not. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously. Aaron Rodgers is the guy that's probably got burner accounts going everywhere saying, see, maybe it's not me. Because McCarthy gets fired And what happens? The Packers end up a game away from the Super Bowl, and they start this year 4-0 before they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everything is fine. Mike McCarthy gets fired, and what happens? He should have walked into that gig with the Jets, right? CEO-type guy, I'm going to walk in and run this team. He doesn't get that job. He interviews with the Browns. I'm going to walk into this job. Everything's going to be great. Both the Jets and the Browns, young quarterbacks that need my tutelage. I've brought up young quarterbacks. This is made to order for me. Doesn't get the gig with the Browns. And now a year later, he sits out the rest of that year, and here he is, and he could be one and done with the Dallas Cowboys. So suddenly maybe it's not Aaron Rodgers, and you look at Mike McCarthy and go, oh, maybe we go back and go, oh, Rodgers should have won more. Maybe it wasn't Aaron Rodgers' fault, because I know one person that's been playing really well and succeeded extremely well since Mike McCarthy's got fired, and one guy hasn't succeeded extremely well, and that's Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, we know the knock on him that he hadn't changed his offense for years. And maybe that was one of the reasons that teams, when he did go to talk to other teams before showing up on Jerry's doorstep, and Jerry just like the sticker that said, Super Bowl champion Mike McCarthy. Yep, he's got history. Bring him in. Whereas the other team said, well, we're not getting anything new. Right? This is kind of the old. I mean, Ryan Clark and a number of players – former players have come out and kind of mocked to a degree what had been going on in Green Bay the last couple of years, right? Of, all right, these were the same plays, the same sets that were running, which is why I think Aaron Rodgers had taken to, hey, the communication doesn't work in my headset, so now I'm going to call my own play and we're going to go and do our own thing. So I think that's playing into this as well. Is just you didn't innovate. You're still sending out some of the same old routine. And for Aaron Rodgers with LaFleur, whatever their personality conflicts, real or imagined, were year one, year two, up until this game against the Bucs, and the Bucs are the top defense or top three by all metrics in the National Football League. So it was to be expected that they'd have a little bit of a problem. But now the comeback begins. But as he told you, rumors of his demise have been long exaggerated. So whereas Mike McCarthy is in the stew now, it ain't getting any better.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios.
I'm an ass man.
Yeah.
So game one of the World Series goes to the Dodgers, 8-3. Game two, the entire series is at stake for the Rays. They have their best pitcher going in Blake Snell. It's going to be a bullpen game from the Dodgers. Tony Gonsolin's going to start. Probably Jerry Royce will pitch a little bit. You never know. Nice. Eric Gagne could
Bert
come in.
Hooten.
Sure, Bert Hooten. Oh, yeah, he can come. He can give you a couple of innings. This is how it's going to go. If the Dodgers win game two, they're going to sweep them. I know Charlie Morton still, but by that point, by game three, that's it. Everything is in game two because, you know, my whole life, Mike, I have always been a good pitching beats good hitting guy. It's how I was always been that. The Dodgers hitting is just too good, and the Rays pitching isn't good enough. If this was, hey, you got a murderer's row of pitchers coming up here, and this is three really good pitchers, like, you know, the Reds were trotting out, you're trotting out Bauer and Sonny Gray, then I would say, okay, this is strength versus strength. But this is a Dodgers lineup that is relentless. It is even better than the Braves lineup because they hit 1-9. The guys that hit 7, 8, 9 for the Dodgers could hit in the top of the batting order for almost any other team in Major League Baseball, whether it's Kike Hernandez or Chris Taylor. Bellinger's an MVP. He's hitting 6th and 7th, mainly because he struggles in the playoffs, but still you have a former MVP who's 25 years old hitting lower in the lineup. The hitting is just too good. And the Rays pitching, which is good, isn't elite. Now, the Rays, nothing they do is elite. This is the definition of a team that does, that functions at its highest level, because everything they do pretty well. The Dodgers do things great. The Rays do things pretty well. But this Dodger lineup is just too much for this Rays pitching staff. And if they go out and beat Blake Snell in game two, I mean, that's going to be it. You can say, all right, well, we still feel good about Charlie Morton. The Dodgers are steamrolling through the rest of the World Series.
Didn't know what was going to break first, your spirit or your body. That's where we're at. Anytime I can bring Bane back into the existence
yes,
of
Mr.
Our, Wayne. Our world here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. You have to.
No, he didn't say it. No. He didn't say it. He just said
didn't
Bane.
Didn't say what?
He just said Bane. You can't play it unless he actually says
yes, I can,
the
Mr.
Word.
Wayne.
No, you can't, Mr. Wayne. It's not the way it
you
goes.
You challenge me.
I'll challenge you. You sit there and...
You know, you had to say Bane.
Batman.
You had to say Bane.
Well, it's close to Bane's, which allowed me to... Think
Harold
fondly
Baines.
Of, you know, Hall of Famer Harold Baines
sure.
Of your Chicago White Sox. But, tomorrow, if they get five good out of Gonsolin, let's start turning out the lights. I mean, we'll see what Blake Snell brings to the table. But coming out of tonight, you've certainly got the demoralizing 8-3 defeat. And just when you thought you had a window, it cracked open. It got slammed shut on your fingers by that double play, which is by far the play that sets the tone for the rest of this series. And we'll be selling 8x10 photos of that forever that says World Series champs.
Oh, if they win, Victor Gonzalez can go to card shows and sign that picture for the rest of his life.
That's right.
Just the look on his face that, oh, my goodness, look in my hand is the baseball. It was hit back at me at 105 miles an hour.
Look what I got.
Victor Gonzalez, World Series champion. That'll be $25. Thank you. All right, great. I appreciate that. Victor Gonzalez, World Series, $25.
You want an inscription? Yep. Yeah. Extra 25. Boom.
But really, that's where it's at for this World Series. The Dodgers and the way they're carrying themselves, they just see, this seems like an inevitability. Like they know this is their time. This is the best team they've had. They know they're better than the Rays. They're talking like it after the game. Clayton Kershaw says, when we play our best, nobody can beat us. This is not what was said when you're playing the Astros and the Red Sox. It's like they know this is their time and they are peaking at the right time. Because the one thing is, the Rays are not the Braves. I mean, the Braves and Dodgers are the two best teams in Major League Baseball, and the Rays are not as good as the Braves are. So you're going to get a bit of a downtick when it comes to the World Series, what you're expecting out of the Rays. Because that NLCS was phenomenal. I told you those are the best two teams in baseball. The Dodgers outlasted the Braves, and now here they are with a big advantage over Tampa Bay.
Well, you know, I picked the Dodgers to beat the Rays in the World Series when the season started. So feeling pretty good about it right now.
I keep saying that, buddy. I mean, really, the Rays are your team, though. You've been a Rays guy.
Well, I like the underdog, and I also have one of those original hats.
Oh, yeah, you do. You wore that in once. It's got, like, the one with the actual ray on
it. The actual ray on it.
With the yellow and the orange. Oh, that's a sweet hat.
Yeah, I'll show it to the masses tomorrow. I'll see if I can unearth it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, download our Best Of podcast. It goes up on iTunes, iHeartRadio app. Subscribe, rate us. We'll love you forever. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller. This is Fox Sports Radio.